Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going
to
get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Oh, it feels so good to be back. What is up, beautiful people? Happy Tuesday, November 2, 2017. I really hope you guys had a fantastic Thanksgiving break. It is our first live Current Sports since we all said goodbye to you all last week on Wednesday. First time back on the air since the Thanksgiving holiday. Hope you guys had a great one. I know I surely did. I'm just getting back from Florida, where my mother has now resided for the past a little over 2 years now. And it was beautiful, as you can imagine. She lives in the Miami area, 80 degrees and sunny. All 4 days I was down there, actually played a little golf. That was great. 26 holes of golf, to be exact, in the span of 48 hours. Love that. And it looks like I brought some of that sunshine right here to mid-Michigan. I was shocked when I got off the plane yesterday. And, you know, I was bracing for 20-degree weather. Got off the plane knowing it was around, you know, 45, 50 degrees outside. And I'm sitting there saying, oh, my goodness. I brought some of that sunshine to Michigan, I guess. And then today it's even better. Something like 53 degrees right now here in mid-Michigan. Wow. How about that? It's November 28th, and it's 50 degrees outside. We'll see how long this lasts, right? Enjoy it while you can. If you happen to have the day off work, you're one lucky brother or sister, first off. But go out and hit the links. I mean, my goodness, absolutely beautiful. So I hope you guys are having a great week thus far. Again, glad to be back. And we had have a ton, as you can imagine, to get to on today's Current Sports. What a weekend it was. So many sports taking place. And I'm going to get to our headliners later on this hour. But I have to say this. I mean, you Michigan State fans are just like my dog, Chibale. Just absolutely spoiled. I tell you what, because Michigan State fans, I mean, I can't name any other school here in America that has the kind of success that Spartan Athletics is having right now. It is truly unbelievable. I mean, you have a men's soccer team that is competing right now in the Elite Eight. They will play Indiana later on this week out in Bloomington, Indiana, for a chance to advance in the NCAA tournament. You also have a women's volleyball program that has placed itself in yet another tourney bid. How about Kathy George and company? You have a top five Michigan State men's basketball program. Tom Izzo and the Spartans winning the victory bracket of the PK, the Phil Knight 80 championship over the weekend out in Oregon. How cool was that to watch, right? You also have a Michigan State football program that flipped the script. After going 3-9 last season, went 9-3 to complete the regular season, and it looks like they will have a nice New Year's Bowl bid as well. I mean, I can't name any other school that has the kind of success currently like Michigan State is having. It's just unbelievable. So we'll recap all of that. We'll have coverage from this morning's busy press conference here on the campus of Michigan State University at the Breslin Center as multiple coaches spoke. Michigan State hockey right now. Danton Cole doing a great job to start off the year. Danton Cole spoke to the media this morning. You also had Kathy George speaking. You had Damon Rensing hitting the podium as well. You had head coach Tom Izzo. His presser kicking off at noon. We will have snippets from those pressers in just a moment. So we'll have a full weekend recap of Michigan State athletics. We will also be talking about a certain quarterback deciding to transfer at the University of Michigan. We'll look at predictions on what the NCAA College Football Selection Committee will possibly do tonight when it comes to their top four rankings. All eyes will be on the committee. There's so many scenarios that can be kicked around as we now enter conference championship week. So we'll talk about that. It was a wild weekend in college football. And we will have a weekend winner segment for you that will talk a bit about Detroit sports. How about the Detroit Pistons with a big win last night over the Boston Celtics, leading the NBA's Eastern Conference? We'll recap, yeah, the Detroit Lions and the Honolulu Blue falling on Thanksgiving. As I predicted, it's the Detroit Lions. It's the Detroit Football Lions, folks. And we'll also, that and more. We have a ton. I'm going to try to hit on all of it. And we'll also talk about, you know, when it comes to local sporting action here, we've got some news coming out of the camp of high school football when it concerns a certain coach at Okemos High School. And we'll also salute two of our local high school football teams that went down to Ford Field over the Thanksgiving holiday and raised a state championship trophy. So our plate runneth over. If you want to be a part of the fun, you guys know how you can do that. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You guys know that you can also weigh in via our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Watch the live stream, comment under the live stream, or you can even tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me at my Twitter handle of @AlMartinWKAR. Again, we'll get to our headliners later on in a few minutes here. I want to dive right into it, though, and hit you with our intro.
Talked to him a lot about the head going down in the Ferris State game and affected his defense, affected everything. You know, that's part of the maturation process that a kid has to learn how to deal with a little success and learn how to deal with a little failure. And I thought that was one of the things Josh was poor at. You know, we talked about it. We talked it to you guys. We talked it to him. His body language was, you know, and he didn't even realize he was doing it. And that's kind of what you learn. I had one parent tell me, you know, on a certain issue, that's why I sent my kid there. If he was already really good, I would, you know, I'm going to send him to the NBA or something. You know, that's, I knew he had to grow. I knew he had to do these things. Josh is, you know, other than the injury, which took care of half of last year, I think he's made great progress. He's making progress every day in practice right now.
And we start with convo centered on the Michigan State men's basketball team, which, of course, pulled out the PK80 victory bracket tourney championship over the weekend. It was a 77-57 win over North Carolina. Michigan State, I tell you what, you look at that game, you know, there are multiple takeaways from that game. First off, I want to give a big shout out to Josh Langford. And you heard Izzo commenting today. That's from his press conference, a snippet from his press conference centered on Josh Langford and how the confidence of Josh Langford is just really on an upward tick right now. We saw a great game for for Josh against North Carolina over the weekend. And, you know, watching, you know, what took place in that game and what took place in the tournament, there are a lot of takeaways. And first off, you know, other than Josh Langford, I'm going to revisit him in just a second. First off, Michigan State men's basketball, though, they have to stay out of foul trouble. That's one of the biggest takeaways, right? Because we saw multiple players to start that game get into early foul trouble, and Izzo really had to rely on that bench of his to come in and play minutes early. I mean, we saw redshirt player Connor George come in and have to hold down the fort for multiple minutes. So the early foul trouble for Michigan State has been a problem, and it was a problem throughout the PK-80. But you look at the play of Josh Langford, he made 5 3-pointers, scored 23 points. He was absolutely amazing. And I've said, you know, dating back to last year, if Josh can find a way just to get it consistently going, Michigan State is going to be a problem. A big problem. They're already a problem without consistent play from Josh Langford, but they're going to be a really big problem if Josh Langford can have that kind of play on a night-in, night-out basis. I mean, and the big thing for me, you know, it's confidence. It's confidence with Josh Langford. And that's what Izzo was harping on. We would see Josh, and a lot of that had to do with Josh getting injured to begin last season. But when he came back from that injury, he really struggled with confidence. Second-guessing shots, thinking a bit too much, trying to make things happen, and forcing things instead of just playing within the flow of the game. And his aggressiveness just wasn't there. But that's one of the things that in that championship game against North Carolina over the weekend, that is something that totally went out the window. I mean, he was aggressive, an aggressive shooter right out the gate. We saw him even in transition get it going. I mean, he got on the break and hit tough layups off the glass. You know, he would hit the mid-range jumper without hesitation. If he was open, he was taking that shot. And especially with a Michigan State team that was hampered with that early foul trouble, they really needed Josh to have that kind of a game. And also, Cassius Winston had a tough matchup in that game. And we saw Cassius eventually have some great consistent play in the second half. But that first half was hit or miss for him. But the fact that Michigan State beats a North Carolina team that is a top 10 program, and you do it this early in the season, we're starting to see Michigan State start to work on some things and get better game after game. And that's what you want to evaluate, a game like that this early in the season, shaking off the loss to Duke and figuring out what this team's identity is going to be. And the shooting for Michigan State was really, really nice. Really, really nice. And they play so well in stretches. Now, the turnovers are going to be a concern. I mean, 24 Spartan turnovers. If Michigan State's defense was not locked in the way it was against North Carolina on any other day, you look at 24 turnovers, you're losing that game. And a ton of fouls as well. A ton of fouls as well. Nonetheless, Michigan State still able to lock in, play defense, and get the dub. And now we'll move on to playing the Big Ten ACC Challenge, welcoming Notre Dame to the Breslin Center. That's going to be a fun game, a really fun game. And you look at the entirety, just the entire slate of Michigan State sports this weekend. I mean, you get three Michigan State and Notre Dame games this weekend because, of course, Danton Cole and the Michigan State hockey team will play Notre Dame in a back-to-back come this weekend as well. And that's something that I'm going to roll in a snippet from Danton Cole in just a moment, him talking about the Michigan State and Notre Dame dynamic. And you look at the standings for Michigan State hockey. Michigan State may be sitting at the bottom of the Big Ten right now. Notre Dame sitting atop the Big Ten Conference. But we saw some life, at least, especially after that first game over the weekend for Michigan State hockey. But I'll get to Michigan State hockey in just a moment. But, you know, for Michigan State men's basketball, this is a team that we're really starting to see get better, and it's very encouraging, because I felt like a lot of you were pretty down after the loss to Duke. So a heck of a weekend for Michigan State sports. Before I push forward here, I want to invite a man who I haven't seen since last week, since we peaced out for the Thanksgiving holiday, my man Isaac Constance, who I believe you actually went home, Isaac, to New Orleans for the Thanksgiving holiday. How you doing, my man? Good to see you.
I did, yeah. Doing great. Great seeing you, too. It's been so long. But
it feels like it, right?
It really does. So much has happened in the sporting world throughout mid-Michigan and beyond. I mean, gosh, you've got high school state championships as well, you know, along with all of this great MSU happening. It's a fun time, like you said, to be a Spartan sports fan, right? If you are one. If you're a U of M fan, we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah, we will, because there's a lot of drama surrounded around that program right now. And we will get to that after our second break. But I tell you what, again, if you're a Michigan State fan, though, I mean, you have a lot going for you, okay? A lot going for you. Now, I want to start by rolling in, by rolling in a few bites from this morning's press conference. As I stated, there were a lot of Michigan State coaches that took the podium to address some upcoming matchups. And again, a lot going on in MSU athletics. You have, Danton Cole, again, in the ice hockey team playing Notre Dame this weekend. You have Damon Rensing and the Michigan State men's soccer team still in the running in the NCAA tournament. Of course, they will play Indiana on the road and, you know, to move on to the Final Four. And, you know, you look at Indiana. You know, that's a team that Michigan State played earlier this season. It ended in, and I hate this word when it comes to soccer. That's why I can't stand soccer sometimes, Isaac. But they ended up tying earlier this season.
Very, I think that was a 0-0, too, wasn't it?
I thought it was 1-1.
1-1, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, if it was 0-0, oh, my gosh.
That just
makes your eyes bleed to watch something like that. Oh, my goodness, man. But, you know, and that's the thing. You know, you're a bigger soccer guy than me. You watch the international game. You know, when you tie like that, I mean, what little details are you looking at that will prepare you for another matchup, the first matchup ending in a tie? What little details are you looking at that will possibly lead to a Michigan State win or an Indiana win for that matter?
Well, whenever it's a 0-0 or 1-1 game, you're obviously not saying, boy, if we played better defense. No, it's all on the offensive front. It's seeing how you can break down the opponent's defense and knowing how stout that Indiana defense is and has been as a program for MSU,
right?
A lot of it, and you hate to say this about the beautiful game of soccer, but comes into bombardment and attrition. You just want to get the ball into the opponent's box as much as possible, as beautiful as the game can be. Sometimes it's just the gritty get the ball over the line that works the best, and that's what MSU did superbly earlier in this tournament against Western Michigan, when they managed to just bring on an onslaught goal, or when they played Virginia Tech, I believe it was, and they got the three first half goals. MSU just got the ball over the line. It's because it's constant pressure, no relent. Just make sure that the opposition is on the back foot, pushed by your offense. And you know what? A lot of times, the ball just find its way into that little squadron of the area where, you know, it's a goal and it works out well for you. But that's what you have to do against these great defensive teams, because they're not going to have a mismanagement or any sort of breakdown when it comes to strategy. Mm-hmm. You've just got to put the pressure on and hope the ball bounces your way.
Yeah, and, you know, for Michigan State, you look at over the weekend, you know, how Michigan State was able to move on and advance to the Elite Eight of the NCAA tournament. They were actually down. They let up an early goal to the Broncos. And again, I believe, the Spartans actually beat Western earlier this season. Mm-hmm. That was back in October 4th, if my memory serves me correct. And they beat them in that game. But they go down early in that matchup, and it's a very – I watched some of the highlights, and there was a fight that almost broke out during one point of the matchup I saw. Very emotional game, and if you get down early in an emotional game like that in the NCAA tournament, you're curious to see how your players are going to respond. And Michigan State responded quite well. They stayed poised. They stayed very aggressive. Ended up with a 2-1 win over about, you know, I should say at the Martin Stadium, you know, in front of about 1,500 fans in that game as well, Isaac. And I want to play a quick snippet. Do we have those bites up? I want to play a quick snippet from head coach of the Michigan State men's soccer program, Damon Rensing, as, of course, the Spartans will play now number 2 seed Indiana. That will take place on Friday, December 1st at 7 p.m. at Bloomington, Indiana.
First off, before we touch on Bloomington, just to recap from the weekend, what a awesome weekend. Michigan State University did a great job of putting on this Sweet 16 matchup between Western Michigan. Western Michigan did a great job of bringing a great fan base and a great soccer team. And it was a battle, very electric atmosphere. And we were fortunate enough to come out with a 2-1 win, which I think is a good testament to our seniors and leaders on the team. It was a grind and a battle, and sometimes you just got to survive in advance. And I thought we did a great job of that, handled some tough situations and was down a goal, but then came back and scored. And so, we're excited to be playing in our third Elite Eight in the last 5 years. So we're looking forward to, a great game against one of our Big Ten foes in Indiana, one of the traditional powers in college soccer. Got a lot, huge respect for their staff and their team. They're undefeated this year. I think they got 18-0-5 or somewhere along those lines. They've scored 45 goals and given up 5. So their stats are pretty impressive, and their team is as well, and they've got a great coaching staff. So we're looking forward to that battle, and it should be a good game on Friday night. Yeah, well, first off, you know, we had two teams from the state of Michigan, obviously Western Michigan, Michigan State, but a lot of those starting lineups had players from the state of Michigan. So I thought it was a great testament to all the youth coaches, all the high school coaches, all the club coaches that helped develop these players, and probably of the 22 starting players, you probably had anywhere from 15 to 18 of them were from the state of Michigan. And so that brought out a lot of community support from all over the state, and I thought that was neat. I think Michigan's a very underrated state when it comes to youth soccer. I think it's one of the top 10 to 15 states easy in the country. As far as the Big Ten goes, it was the second best conference this year. Always prepares us. Part of the reason why we've been able to be successful in the NCAA tournament is certainly because we play in the Big Ten, and you play a bunch of very well-coached, well-organized, and different teams. And so they prepare you for all kinds of different games. And so, you know, part of it's kind of bittersweet playing Indiana because you really respect them and you know that you're going to get one Big Ten team in the College Cup, but at the same time, two of us are playing and one of the Big Ten teams has got to lose. So both these teams, I think, are capable of being a Final Four caliber team.
Oh, exciting stuff. Exciting stuff. So you have Michigan State men's soccer playing in the Elite Eight, number 2 seed, Indiana, this Friday, December 1st. At 7 p.m., that game will take place in Bloomington, Indiana. I want to highlight Michigan State men's soccer next real briefly here. And I want to roll in a bite from head coach Danton Cole. Michigan State played Penn State to a 2-2 tie, actually, in the second of a two-game series between the two teams. Now, Michigan State men's hockey did win the shootout 2-1 to earn the extra point in the Big Ten standings. And right now the Spartans are 7-6-1 overall, 1-4-1-1 in the Big Ten Conference. Now, you look at that Big Ten record, and that puts Michigan State 7th in the conference, last in the conference. But they have an opportunity. I mean, my goodness, they will play number 1 in the conference, Notre Dame, come this weekend. And Danton Cole, you know, it's funny. I was listening to the press conference today, and Michigan State fell pretty hard to Penn State last week on Friday night on the road in Pennsylvania. 7-2 is the final of that matchup. So the fact that they rebounded and we were able to get the shootout win after tying at the end of regulation in that game is pretty testament to how resilient this team is. And I was curious to see how they were going to get, you know, how they were going to bounce back from a loss like that. I mean, a 5-goal loss. And it was funny because Danton Cole noted how he absolutely lit into his team after that loss. Here is Danton commenting on what he had to say to his troops after the 7-2 loss against the Nittany Lions.
Well, I guess that's a nice way of putting it. You know, we haven't had many occasions where we've been stern with them, and I think you always have to gauge where your team's at. If you've got a really good team that is older and a ton of talent, or, you know, if it's a pro team that's been around a while, or with the U.S. team, it was an 18-year-old in the second half of the second year, you can get into them a little bit. When you have a team that's, you know, struggled last year, and then this year, you know, we're certainly not over the hump. I think you have to watch, you know, how hard do you get after them. You have to pick your spots, and, you know, Dave Tippett, he's coached for a long time. He'll be back coaching the NHL at some point. You know, he's used to talk about having, you get three shots at him a year to really get after him. So, you know, there were some things that disappointed us on Friday night, and I think from the mental side of it. And so, you know what, we talked about some of those things that probably went a little longer and maybe a little more animated than I've been with them to date. But I also think they're at the point where they can start handling that, where they know that they can do some of the things. So if you ask them things that they can't do or they can't achieve, then that's just the definition of frustration, because, you know, then you're asking them, you know, to get outside of what they're able to do. If you're asking them things that they've done and they know they can do, then I think we're within our wheelhouse and we're okay with that. So that was a challenge. And then you take your 4 or 5 minutes with them and then start building them up back after that. And then we had a great meeting on Saturday and did some good video. And the guys, you know what, they were able to do it. And like I said, they're a gutsy bunch.
So there you have that head coach of the Michigan State men's hockey program, Danton Cole, commenting on the weekend series against Penn State, the Spartans falling in game one of that matchup, 7-2, and they were able to tie in regulation against the Nittany Lions and win the shootout, actually, in that matchup. So they will welcome Notre Dame. Yeah, it's going to be a fun matchup. Notre Dame will come to Munn Ice Arena for back-to-back matchups on December 1st, this Friday, and on Saturday as well. Both of those puck drops are scheduled for 7:05 p.m. And, hey, how about your Michigan State volleyball team? Number 10 Michigan State has earned an at-large bid to the 2016 NCAA Division I Volleyball Tournament. They will take on, it's going to be a battle of the MSUs here. You got Michigan State University taking on number 25 Missouri State University in the first round out in Omaha, Nebraska. I tell you, Kathy George, man, oh, man, they actually hosted the NCAA tournament last year. Kathy George has done a great job with this program, and, you know, her team actually absolutely went bonkers when they were watching the selection show, which was going on actually at the same time of the Michigan State men's basketball game against North Carolina out in Oregon. But they are certainly excited, and the possibilities are endless for Kathy George and her team. Here's a snippet from Kathy George's press conference from this morning.
You know, you're starting the NCAA tournament and getting down to that last several weeks of play, and you know, exciting time. So you're repping things up with the league and heading out. So we were at the selection show the other day, and you know, we're getting our draw, and on the other side is men's basketball. That was kind of a little distracting there at the same time, but we got our draw, and obviously then, you know, everything's off to work and get going with what you've got. But we're heading out to Creighton, and Creighton is a very good team, and they're hosting this, and they are well deserving of that. They were in the Elite Eight last year, a great team, a lot of kids back, and we drew Missouri State, which Missouri State has played. They've gone on an 18-match run. They've just been great. They've been spectacular in all of their matchups this year, and have played quite a few Big Ten teams, beating Ohio State and going the distance with Illinois. And so that's a really tough matchup. They have a lot of great players, and Lily Johnson is probably the one to note in terms of, you know, what she's been able to do. But they have several other players on their team that are very talented and play great defensively. They have over 19 digs per game, which is if you look at some of the averages, more like 14, 15 per game. And so they're a very strong team defensively, and will definitely want to stretch us in every way, shape, or form. And so we have a lot of respect for what they're doing. Melissa does a great job with them, and they're very fiery and play very hard. So we know that we've got our work cut out for us in that matchup, and just working this week to get ourselves ready for that, and just put ourselves in a position to be successful. So, back to the drawing board, have gone over film and all of that with our team, and getting ready for, you know, what we hope is a long tournament run, but certainly one that you got to start with the work that you're doing here today, so, and yesterday, and so on. So,
okay, so Kathy George, head coach of the Michigan State women's volleyball team, they earned a number 10 seed and will take on number 25 Missouri State in the first round in Omaha, Nebraska this Friday. The winner of Saturday's match in the Omaha sub-regional will head to State College, Pennsylvania for third round and quarterfinal matches to be held on December 8th and 9th. So such a busy time in MSU athletics. I'm sure many of you fans out there are celebrating it. And before I make two more points when it comes to the Michigan State men's basketball team, as they will look forward now to play in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. The first time I can remember Michigan State has hosted the Big Ten ACC Challenge, it's been a long time. I can't remember the last time they've done that, but they will take on Notre Dame this Thursday inside of the friendly confines of the Breslin Center. But before I comment briefly, make just two more points concerning Izzo's squad, I do want to get to our phone lines where we have one of our dear callers that has been waiting oh so patiently. Kirk from Grand Ledge, how you doing, my friend? How was your Thanksgiving break?
It was okay.
Just okay? That's it, Kirk? Oh, my God. Did you eat a lot? Did you do anything fun with the fam?
Well, we did stuff with the fam, but there's been some family health issues going on and stuff.
Okay. Gotcha.
So that tempered things a little.
I hear you, man. Okay. I hear you.
So I just wanted to call in. I didn't get a chance to listen to yesterday's show, Al.
Well, we had a pre-recorded show. This is our first live show of the week, actually.
Oh, well, that makes it even more significant because with all the stuff that went on athletically last weekend, I thought for sure you would have let off with the Canadian Football League Grey Cup game.
Ah, in your dreams, brother. In your dreams.
That was played in a snowstorm and stuff, you know. I get a kick out of watching the CFL and the, you know, 12 guys and a wider field and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then you go back the week before and you have in the Michigan High School playoffs, you have the 8-man championships on a narrower field with 8 guys, and it just shows really the flexibility of football you could in a lot of different sports. I mean, you know.
Right, right.
And it took me back to when I was much younger, and we'd play every Thanksgiving, the annual Thanksgiving Day Mud Bowl game, we called it, where, you know, all the kids in the neighborhood, and as we got to be young adults too, would go out and play tackle football on kind of a local field. It was actually the lawn of an elementary school or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that was such a lot of fun with all the different deviations of how many players and things like that. The only bad side to it was the last time I played tackle football was in one of those games because I actually broke my face. I fractured a cheekbone in the
bottom. Oh, my goodness, man. Oh, wow. That's not a good memory. That's not a good memory at all, Kirk. But that sounds fun, though. I will say it sounds fun. I wish my family did something like that. Get out there and you know, get the guys together. We're just a family, period, and go out and play some football. That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah. Now it's got to be picked, you know, touch football kind of stuff.
I hear you.
But going to Michigan State's basketball, the PK-80 series, the thing that I found really interesting is that Michigan State is very dangerous when they're getting outside shooting. And you had Matt McQuaid in the first game going off,
yep.
Cassius Winston in the second going off, and then Langford in the third game going off. So my question is, did Izzo say anything about McQuaid's injury at his press conference?
Well, I tell you, I had to book out early because of our show. Izzo didn't speak until 12. So I didn't hear anything concerning Matt's injury. Not sure how significant it is. So I no update on that, Kirk. We can probably scour Twitter and see if we have something near Isaac. But I didn't see anything there.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving, Al, and we'll talk to you later.
You got it. Thanks so much, Kirk. Really appreciate it, my friend. And, yeah, a quick point here, and I see, Jason, going to get to you in just a moment, my man. But, you know, you look at, you know, this Michigan State men's basketball team, and, again, it was very encouraging. I really hope, and one of the points I want to make here, I really hope that this is maybe a breakthrough for Josh Langford. Because I've always said, and even looking at now, again, it is Moneyball, but even looking at him in Moneyball, and seeing how that shot was coming along and seeing how his confidence was really brewing and really on an upward tick as well, I think Josh Langford can be the key for this team. If they're going to make a deep run in this tourney, they are going to need a confident Josh Langford. When he has no hesitation and when he's going at that defense, when he's got that mid-range jumper going, and when he's even attacking the paint, I really think Josh Langford can really be a force. And also, you know, you look at Miles Bridges in the tourney. Now, again, did have the ankle injury. And, you know, he sat out the first game and returned in that second game. Did have the ankle injury that did linger in those final two games of the PK-80. But the fact that he just out there playing and moving around comfortably is a good sign for Michigan State fans. I mean, against North Carolina, he played 26 minutes, scored 11 points. He was 4 of 9 on shots, pulled down 5 boards. That's solid for a man who's coming back from an ankle sprain as severe as his. And an interesting point that Tom made during the presser today is when he was asked about Miles Bridges not blowing up the stat sheet and whether or not, you know, that hurts his perception overall as a player. But Izzo made the point that just having Miles out there as an offensive force really opens up the court for other players. And, you know, 11 points, 4 of 9 isn't really sexy. However, having Miles out there adds a dynamic that you just don't get with any other player on that Michigan State basketball roster. So that's the other point I wanted to make. But also, you know, when you beat a team like North Carolina the way that Michigan State did, I mean, they completely dominated this game. And when you see Michigan State locked in defensively, they can beat anybody in the country. And that's why this team is so highly favored coming into this season. When Michigan State is playing defense the way that they played against North Carolina, they can beat anybody on the planet. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll have your quick hit headliners. Jason, I see it. If you want to call in to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number. We'll also talk some college football when we come back. What will the top 4 teams look like tonight when the rankings, the latest CFP rankings, are announced? We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. What will the college football playoff rankings look like tonight? I want to get your thoughts on that, of course. And I see we got Jason and Dave waiting patiently. Going to get to you guys in just a moment. But I will say this. When it comes to tonight's revealing, Wisconsin, welcome to the playoff party. As much as I'm not really excited about that, Isaac, because again, I thought that, you know, you look at Wisconsin's schedule, and again, for Alabama too. I look at Alabama. Who is Alabama playing right now? They lose to Auburn. Alabama may be chilling at home watching this game, Isaac. When I look at the messages that are being sent right now from the committee, and I look at the loss to Auburn, I think that the winner, I think these two things are guaranteed to me. The winner of the ACC championship game is getting in. Between Miami and Clemson.
Okay.
That whoever wins that is getting in. And whoever wins the SEC championship game is getting in. I think so as well. And I think that, you know, whether it be Georgia or Auburn, if Alabama's going to get in, they will need Wisconsin to handle business and a possible loss for Oklahoma in that Big 12 championship game. That's what I believe. Alabama's going to get in that dance because right now, I mean, look at Alabama's schedule. They haven't really – and it's Nick Saban's fault, to be honest, because they didn't schedule anybody really sexy out of conference.
They thought they were, though, with Florida State, in fairness.
Florida State paying out to be,
No, I hear you, but they thought they were. It's not the same as Wisconsin.
Because this is how I think it's going to pan out. I mean, you're going to have Clemson, Oklahoma, Auburn, and Wisconsin in the top 4 tonight. I think that's pretty much given, right? And you look at all 4 of those teams, all 4 of those teams scheduled some pretty good competition out of conference at the beginning of the year. Alabama didn't do that. That could possibly end up biting them in the rear end come next week when the final rankings come out. That's all I'm saying.
See, the one thing that I don't see, though, is I'm not sure Miami gets in with a win in the ACC championship.
They will. They'll
have number 7 in the polls right now, they get in, you think?
They'll have that one loss. They'll only have one loss. And again,
I know, but they didn't play that strong of a schedule either. They've got one win. That Notre Dame win is huge.
It's just one win, though.
It's just one win. And Notre Dame is not the team that we thought they were earlier in the season either. They've fallen off.
If you beat Clemson, though. Clemson. A lot of people are going, I wouldn't be surprised if they put Clemson number 1 in the college football playoff rankings.
They should. They should, yeah.
If Miami beats Clemson and they only have one loss in a year, they're getting in, Isaac. They are getting in the top 4. They deserve to be in the top 4, especially with that dynamic defense. I mean, come on, dude. You got to put Miami in.
The other thing that I'd say, though, is I agree with you. to end it on a positive note of harmony and everything and accord. But cool, I agree with you on the Georgia one, which I'd imagine some people will try to fight. They'll say Alabama's obviously better at Georgia. Look at what Georgia did when they played Auburn as compared to Alabama. At least that was a close game. Alabama also with a good win against LSU. The reason Georgia should hop both of those teams if they win, though.
If they win,
it's all about the later stretch of the season. If Georgia can recover from losing, what was it, 40-17 to Auburn earlier this year with a win? No, they do deserve to get into this college football playoff.
Yeah, and, you know, my goodness, if Ohio State beats Wisconsin, wow, that would throw a wrench into things, right? We all know this is college football. Clemson, Oklahoma, Auburn, and Wisconsin, they're not all, if they all win, that's your playoff right there. It's college football. They're not all winning.
Agreed.
Somebody's going to lose here, and it's going to throw a month. I think Ohio State is going to beat Wisconsin. I really do.
Yes.
I really do, and I love that offense, but that loss to Iowa just is like, it's like a pimple that just won't go away, man. You know, you try to clear it up, you win the Big Ten championship, but that 30-point loss to Iowa, that hurts. And then that kind of opens the door for a team like Alabama.
And Ohio State's got to be rooting for Georgia with all their might,
sure,
because there's no way the committee lets in two lost teams into the playoffs. That would be ludicrous.
Right. I agree. I agree with that. All right, let's go to our phone lines right now. We'll go with Jason first on line one. Jason, what's up, my man? How you doing?
Doing good, my brother. Doing good. Well, you know what I talked to you about earlier in the year here with Jaren Jackson Jr. Goes out co-freshman of the week with his performance that he had in the PK80.
Right.
You know, he is definitely going to be one of those freshmen that's going to stick out throughout MSU history, just with the way his length and his size and his athleticism is just going to stand out for the next however many years until we get another big man like him coming in.
I agree, and he's so dynamic. I told you his body type. I mean, the dude has a wingspan of 10 foot, you know, whatever. It's crazy.
Seven foot eight or something like that.
It's nuts. It's insane. He can shoot the outside shot. I mean, he's got NBA scouts just kind of salivating right now. I think he'll be a one and done candidate. But yeah, as you mentioned, he is a Big Ten co-freshman player of the week this week. But he's got his. And again, this not to panic here, because this is the kind of growing pains you deal with
exactly
when you talk about freshmen. You know, the foul trouble. Yeah, I think that Jaren has so much energy. He gets out there and is trying to, you know, he wants to make a play ASAP. He's so energetic. He's got to chill and just go with the flow of the game. Don't do too much to start off.
That's why he averaged, what was it,
9.3 points, 8.3 rebounds, and 1.3 blocks.
Yeah,
in last week's culmination of games.
Right. So, yeah. So I mean, that's great for him. Now, you know, Langford going off, amazing. Finally glad to see it. You know, like we've talked before about it, and you said it earlier. Once he gets in that rhythm, he could be the one that opens the gates for us and could be unbelievable. But, you know, the one that surprised me is the lights-out performance that Cassius Winston had.
I was going there, too. I mean, you know what Cassius has added to his game? That transition three. I love
exactly
that. It keeps the defense on his heels. I mean, we saw that multiple times against UConn, and we saw it against, you know, especially in the first game against DePaul. I mean, Cassius would come down on the break and just kind of evaluate things and say, all right, money.
All right, I'm popping it.
Exactly. And it puts the defense on his heels.
Reminds me of somebody else playing in a Gus Macker that I know.
Right. There you go, right? I love it. I love it, J.A. I was hot, man. I was hot.
No, but, you know, the other thing, you know, McQuaid going off in the first game against DePaul was great. You know, yeah, he's a little banged up, but, you know, McQuaid was banged up a little bit last year, too, and he still came out and had great performances. But I really think, though, the win against North Carolina there, even though we lost to Duke, you know, last week, prior to the PK80, and then going in there and we beat UNC, I think that really gave the guys a lot of just showed themselves that they can perform against another top-tier team.
Confidence.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
Gives them the confidence, exactly, to go literally against a top-10 team, if not technically come the end of the season a top-5 team.
But, I hear you. Great call. But, yeah.
With the way Coach Izzo, Dwayne, Dane, and Mike, the way those guys take care of all those guys, they're during practice, even the guys on the scout team, You know, I really think our guys are going to really show up against Notre Dame here. I would not be surprised if college basketball, the game day type crew, is around for the game on Thursday.
I'm not sure when they make those announcements, but I wouldn't be surprised if that happened either. But, hey, thanks a lot, Jason. Appreciate it.
Just because of us being two high-ranked teams going against each other. So.
Right, very true.
But, hey, I'll let you get to the other callers, and I'll be in touch with you offline here. I'll be in touch with you about getting ready, stuff set for the PSAs for the Battlefield Brawl.
You got it. Thanks so much, Jason. Hey, you too, my man. And, yeah, and also two takeaways from that game as well. Bill Walton. Oh, boy. I cannot listen to Bill Walton do a game. Isaac, I don't know if you tuned in.
Oh, yeah.
But he just goes off topic all the time. And his puns are so bad. And he just is overly dramatic all the time. Bill Walton, bless you, brother. But I just can't listen to you. It got so bad, I mute. My stepdad and I were watching the game. I muted it. And we had Kendrick Lamar playing in the background while the game was going on. It was so bad. And also, hey, Tom Izzo rocking the hoodie on the sidelines. And by the way, I love those hoodies. Those hoodies are really, really fly. Some nice gear for MSU for the PK-80. Dave from Wyoming. Dave, what's up, my man? Hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you. And it sounds like, you know, I'm jealous you get to play golf.
I'm very blessed. Very blessed. It was a great weekend.
Wasn't quite warm enough here to do that.
Right. Well, today it is. Today it is for sure.
Some quick things. First, MSU football. Once again, you know, the critics, well, they could have done this. They could have done that. I looked at two touchdowns that turned into field goals because I think Rutgers was yelling defensive signals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why that number 55 playing tackle, I can't remember his name. I think he's a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
He jumped, you know, got him back. They end up kicking. But, you know, it was a game of possession. And D'Antonio was, you know, he's willing to go 15 rounds. You know, he doesn't have to have the quick knockout. And I thought it was just a game of patience with them. And 3-9 is about, you know, everybody would have laughed at you if you'd have said 3-9 to 9-3.
For sure. Without a doubt.
So, yeah. So on that one, secondly, with MSU basketball, one, I think those guys, you know, having Miles on the floor, he creates so much attention for the other teams,
mm-hmm,
that he allows these other guys to have opportunities that they wouldn't necessarily have, you know, that they clamp down on. And Cassius Winston, I think that's great what he's doing right now, but I saw he's shooting about from the same spots on the floor, and come Big Ten season, he's not going to be able to get to those spots of those non-contested three-pointers that he's got right now.
Well, I'll tell you what, because the reason why they're not that contested is, one, Cassius has never showed that part of his game before,
right,
and two, because they happen in transition when the defense is trying to get back. All of a sudden, the transition three is one of the most difficult plays in basketball to defend because it's in motion, you're on the break, and then especially with a player like Cassius who has the court vision that he has, you're worried about if he's going to pass it or shoot it. You don't know. So it's hard to get up on him because he'll go right by you.
Right, but what it does now is it's going to probably force him to be a little bit better passer because people are going to start taking away that shot from him.
Yeah,
and two other things. One, Bill Walton was a little off the wall.
A little? That was bad.
But, you know,
goodness.
On the two other games, I have to be driving, and I heard the score more with Bill Walton doing the game than I did with Will Tiemann on the radio.
Did you?
And you know, that's pretty bad. And I can see, you can hear Bill Walton going off on tangents all over, and I'm still having more updates from his, and it's on TV, and I'm still hearing more score updates than I am from the guy running the MSU basketball radio program.
Well, I think with Bill, probably he was probably running out of things to talk about, so he could just yell out the score.
But he did have one other thing after this, but he did have the quote of the night, I thought.
What was that?
Was that Pinson won the Sonny Liston Award for the way he collapsed.
Yeah, I must say.
Did you notice that he was down, and then magically he was up?
Right.
And he didn't miss a beat.
Yeah.
He didn't stay. There was no concussion protocol, obviously.
And I tell you what, I did also like, did you hear the Kevin Garnett reference that he had as well? The KG reference was nice as well. But other than that,
that was pretty slick. And the last one is, I really like the way they played against North Carolina.
Right.
But I'm old. And I've been around enough to see every time they've had to play North Carolina or Duke in the NCAA tournament, those officials suddenly want to start playing pretty ACC basketball. The game we saw them play against North Carolina looked like Michigan State, Wisconsin.
Right.
Guys were banging. And I told Isaac before, and I'll get off your phone now, if they play that team on a neutral court, come NCAA semifinal or quarterfinal game, suddenly you're going to see MSU guys, specifically Ward, he's going to have four fouls in the first half.
Yeah.
He was very physical. He was between him blocking shots that
they're going
to call fouls on, and him getting in position to get rebounds and banging with his shoulder to go in for that baby hook. Those are all fouls that go in North Carolina's way and the ACC team's way, specifically Duke and North Carolina, it seems, every tournament.
All right.
I thought it was great that they let them play. Like
they did, and I think it depends on that. We got to go right now because we're out of time. Thank you, Dave. Dave from Wyoming, my man Dave. And yeah, I think there's so much inconsistency. When I'm watching, because I watched about over the weekend at least four games in the whole PK80. There is so much inconsistency when it comes to officiating in college basketball. It blows my mind. It's so infuriating and frustrating to watch because, you know, the same play that you'll see that was called a foul the previous play is let go. I don't get it. I think they should just, and I've always said this, just adopt the mentality of the NBA. If you want to start preparing these young kids to have a better transition in the league, start calling college basketball the way you call the NBA. All right? 7 minutes left, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. If you want to get a quick call in right now, let's get to our quick hit headliners. Right, as we mentioned not too long ago, Michigan State freshman men's basketball player Jaren Jackson Jr. has been named Big Ten Co-Freshman Player of the Week on Monday after helping lead the Spartans to the championship of the victory bracket in the Phil Knight 80 Invitational last week out in Oregon. The Spartans won three straight games, a two-tournament event honoring Nike co-founder Phil Knight for his 80th birthday and in recognition of his significant contributions to college basketball. Michigan State beat North Carolina in the title game 63-45 to improve to now 5-1 on the season. Also want to note that Cassius Winston was named the victory bracket most valuable player. Very cool stuff. All right, Jackie Joseph and the Michigan State softball team have announced the upcoming addition of three student athletes to the Michigan State softball program, that being Charlotte Eccles, Abigail Joseph, and Mackenzie Meach. They will enroll at MSU in the fall of 2018 and rejoin in 2019 for the Spartan softball team as freshmen. Wilton Spate's football career at the University of Michigan has ended. A fourth year junior quarterback from Virginia and the team starter for parts of the last two seasons, Spate announced his plans to spend a fifth season elsewhere on Sunday via social media. So seeing as though he will be a fifth-year transfer, he can play immediately. So curious to see what school Spate will arrive at. All right, Michigan State University is being accused of, quote, recreating a culture of sexual violence in a federal lawsuit filed by a student who contends the university failed to follow its own policies or offer protections after she made an assault complaint against a former football player, that football player being Keith Mumphrey. In a federal complaint filed in U.S. District Court's Western District of Michigan on Sunday, the victim, identified as Jane Doe, is suing the university, its board of trustees, and president Luana K. Simon for violating her legal rights, and failure to address sexual assault overall. The 17-page complaint alleges missteps in the university's investigation, as well as its failure to uphold a decision banning the plaintiff's alleged attacker. Again, Keith Mumphrey, former Michigan State wide receiver, from campus just days after it was issued in June of 2016. How about Powama Westphalia and Jackson Lumen Christie? Both of those teams, our local high school football teams, two of our local high school football teams, raised state championship trophies over the weekend. Defending Division 7 state champ Powama Westphalia made its third consecutive trip to Ford Field and came away with its second state title in a convincing win over Sagatok. That was a 21-0 win. And how about Jackson Lumen Christie? Despite trailing 13-8 at halftime, Lumen Christie went on to beat Ithaca in that matchup to hoist up a state championship trophy there. So congratulations to those local teams, as well as Terry Hesbrook and the Ithaca Yellow Jackets for the season they had. Jack Wallace is stepping down after six seasons as the head football coach at Okemos High School. His team went 5-4 this past season after posting a 2-7 mark in 2016. Jack noted the passing of his father and needing to spend time with his family as the reason why he has decided to step away. Also, how about my Detroit Pistons, Isaac? They're looking good, brother. They're looking good.
They are.
A win over the Eastern Conference leading Boston Celtics last night. It was a 118-108 victory. Andre Drummond was a man amongst boys. 26 points, 22 rebounds, 6 assists, and 4 steals. Tonight you can catch the Detroit Red Wings. They will welcome the Kings, the LA Kings, to Little Caesars Arena. That puck drop is scheduled for 7:30 p.m. Also, last but not least, the Lions. The Detroit Lions have announced several roster moves on Monday, and they have also included in that report the expected shift of safety Tavon Wilson from the active roster to the injured reserve. Wilson needs surgery on his shoulder after aggravating a nagging injury on Thanksgiving Day, the loss to the Minnesota Vikings. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. To close out the show, Isaac, we have less than 1 minute left here. If you had to choose a weekend winner, who would it be?
Have to be MSU basketball. Validating all that early season hype. And, you know, finally, it seems like Tom Izzo's got a team who has it together at the start of the regular season. That's not an affront to Tom Izzo, but all of that talent coming together, some of the smaller names really showing up this weekend, too.
Yeah, I like that. Also, I want to give a big shout out to head coach Mark D'Antonio of Michigan State football, flipping the script from 3-9 last season to 9-3 this season. Really curious to see where they end up, what bowl game they end up with come this Sunday. That wraps up this Tuesday edition of Current Sports. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Same time, same place. Be easy, people.